grace, mercy, and peace
are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So what do you think of when you think of a mystery? Agatha Christie, who likes to read mystery stories. UFOs? Your spouse? More likely your children. Many people would say that the Bible is mysterious. And in many ways it is. And that's what we're going to be focusing on for these next Sundays in Advent through Epiphany. Our text for this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 16, where we read, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." As we enter the season of Advent this week, we join Christians around the world to prepare for that celebration of Jesus' birth. Since we were children, most of us have connected this season with specific clues, smells of Christmas baking, super sales in the stores, Christmas lights, brightly colored packages. And sadly, for our society, and even more sadly for some in the church, the arrival of the King of Kings becomes almost secondary to these other things. As God's people, it can be easy to say, we already know what happened in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. I've heard the story many, many times. It's really no mystery at all. And we have. We've memorized our Christmas parts when we were children and can still say them. It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, etc., etc., etc. We still have a hard time pronouncing Quirinius. We know Mary is going to be surprised by the angel. We know God will talk to Joseph about divorcing or not divorcing his expectant bride. We know the angels will appear to the shepherds. We know the wise men are going to show up, right, as they do every year, right? We may even remember that Herod will try to kill the Christ child. But Mary and Joseph and Jesus will evade him by traveling to Egypt after being warned by an angel. We know all the stories. An Advent hymn begins, "O Lord, how shall I meet you?" I think I've sung that song before. And for many, the answer seems to be, just like we do every year. We know the beginning, the middle, and the end of the story. And maybe that's why we pastors often seem so desperate as we try to think of new and exciting ways to keep Christ in Christmas. But even as we do this, people think, of course we'll keep Christ at Christmas. But Christmas isn't until December 25th, and that's a long way away. When it gets here, we'll celebrate that day. But I have so much to do before then, and I'll deal with it when it comes. Because after all, there's no mystery in Advent and Christmas. And that's actually too bad. Because everyone likes a good mystery. Why else do we spend time shopping for that perfect Christmas gift? For some, shopping for that gift holds the same secrecy as the development of the atom bomb. I remember my parents doing all they could, even weighing down boxes with catalogs to disguise what was inside. But I also remember how easily my mom or dad seemed to know what was inside, no matter how much effort was made to hide it. But a little mystery can be a good thing. After years of marriage, a woman complains, "Where's the romance?" He goes to work, comes home, plops himself in the recliner, eats his supper, falls asleep, wakes up, has a snack, and then goes to bed. And what she's really saying is, there's no mystery in our marriage. And the husband can probably think of his own litany of complaints, and what he's saying is the same. There's no mystery in our marriage. And when spouses begin taking each other for granted, it's a dangerous thing, because we need and we want a certain amount of mystery. How tragic it is that many Christians see no mystery in the Christmas story. And maybe that's why shopping malls are jam-packed this time of year, but churches aren't. Why, while spending goes crazy in the stores, offerings in the church remain very sensible. But we say if we'd lived before Jesus was born, well then, now of course there'd be a mystery. And that's the time Paul was talking about when he said, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. If only we'd been there when Abraham received the promise that the Messiah would be one of his descendants. How could God pull something like that off? What a mystery. Or if we'd lived when Micah said, oh, you, O Bethlehem, are so little among the clans of Judah, but from you shall come forth one who is to be the ruler of Israel. Maybe then we'd have felt some mystery. Would he be born in a palace? Would he come and lead great armies? Would he bring economic as well as spiritual prosperity? What would the Messiah be like? It would have been a mystery. Now, no doubt, if we had lived in those times and been privy to those writings, we would have wondered. But we don't live back then. We live right now. We already know the rest of the story. So everything we do at this time of year says, there's really no mystery to this. But it is so very important to keep the story of God's love at the forefront of our lives. We, the people of God, have been entrusted with the responsibility of sharing this story of salvation with others. See, although we may know the facts, this story isn't as familiar to everybody. There are still so many who do not know the mystery of God's love shown in our Savior. The Jewish world doesn't know the mystery of Jesus. Our declaration that God has come in the flesh is seen as an insult to those who continue to wait for the Messiah. The millions of Muslims around the world do not know the mystery of Jesus. For them, Jesus has been demoted to the position of a prophet and plays no part in their path to paradise. There are literally billions of people around the world who don't yet know the mystery of Jesus. And it isn't just in foreign lands where people haven't heard the good news of great joy, which is for all people. An increasing number of those around us don't know the mystery of Jesus. Our friends who think that Christmas is a time for searching for that great sale have missed the mystery. The typical American for whom Christmas is simply about friendship and family, hearth and home, and peace on earth which never comes, has misplaced that mystery. And sadly, even some of us Christians have mislaid the mystery, because this story is so well known. Many of us take the mystery of God's promise to Adam and Eve to send a Savior for granted. It doesn't seem mysterious that God would reach down from heaven and rescue us by sending his Son into this world of sin. But isn't there a mystery there? Why did Jesus become poor so that we might become rich? Why did the Son of God become a suffering servant so that we could become God's children? Why did Jesus leave his heavenly home so that we might have an eternal one? Why was Jesus willing to be forsaken so that we might never be alone? Why did Jesus die so that we might live? I mean, these are mysteries that we need to see and ponder and place them in our hearts and minds. We need to see these at Christmas. So this Advent, we want to look into that cradle at Christmas and see the cross of Good Friday. To look at the Christ child and see the nails which are to come. To look into the manger and remember that someday that little head will be crowned with thorns. We're going to look at those things and see the mystery of God's love for you. Because really neither you nor I deserved any of it. But it happened. By God's grace, He made it happen. And that's the mystery which caused us to say with Paul, "To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Many years ago, a circus was coming to a small town in Iowa. On Saturday night, when all the farm families came to shop and run their errands, a young boy saw the posters and placards which had been put up all over town. In glorious color, he saw the drawings of immense elephants and roaring lions and terrors of the tight wire and the trapeze. And even at the amazingly high price of 5 cents, he knew he had to see that circus. So no chore was left undone, no parental request left unfulfilled. The day the circus arrived, the boy walked 4 miles to town, uphill both ways. He had his nickel wrapped in a handkerchief so it wouldn't be lost, and as promised, the circus came. And it was even better than the boy could have imagined. The shrill sounds of the calliope, the lions pacing in their cages, the vendors and the bumbling clowns. And if he had died at that moment, he would have left the world happy. He gladly passed over his nickel and was home by 10:30 that morning, telling everybody with long, fast sentences everything that he had seen. But listening carefully, his dad identified a problem. He gently asked, "Son, how'd you like the big tent?" And the boy's expression was confused, and he said, "What tent?" See, it came out painfully that the boy had only seen the circus parade. He'd never seen the real acts. He loved what he saw, but he hadn't seen the most wonderful part of the circus. This season, many people will address Christmas cards, go shopping, plan parties, pick out a tree, and in many other ways be occupied with all of the activities of the season. But if these are the sum and substance of Christmas, something is missing. We're paying our nickel to simply see a parade. We all know tinsel, trimmings, and trees aren't Christmas. True, they help to make the season beautiful, but they're still just the parade. If you want to know the real mysteries of Christmas, you have to go farther, deeper. This Advent season, this Christmas time, I invite us all to travel together and enter not a big top, but a stable. Let's go and see not a show, but a Savior. Together, let's wonder at God's mysteries that were hidden for long ages past, but now revealed. Let's go together and see these mysteries. And here's the great thing. It doesn't cost a thing. That price has already been paid. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.